is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
And it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host today as we talk about what's in the news. It's been a while since Aaron and I have a mash man down Wednesday. And I said, Aaron, since we're busy Wednesday again, hey, why not analyze the news this morning? And I said, okay, why not? I have one or two things I want to discuss, but I'm going to let this be an open line Monday. That means you can call in and discuss one or two things that you find interesting, and then we'll be happy to analyze it and tell you our opinions on that too. In studio with me, I still have the union rep, Kyle Wilson. I don't remember because he's a cousin of mine, right? In studio, and he said, hey, I'll join you. We'll shoot the breeze for a minute as we talk about things that is happening inside the Bahamas. I'm not sure how liberal Kyle is in regards to that, but I'll prod him. I'll beat him as we discuss one or two things. Okay. One or two things I want to start the conversation with, and I know Erin has a list of things she wants to explore. Trending. What's trending in social media? Trending in social media right now, we see the COI is up in arms again. You know, they just recently had a rally, and so they got a tidbit recently and playing some kind of voice note and alleging it's some minister and that the minister is doing something sinister or clandestine. That's the right word, Aaron? Clandestine?
Yeah,
doing something clandestine. And I'm not going to call the minister name, you know, because I think it's just utter rubbish what they're saying. Just utter rubbish. But I'm going to explore their claims to see if that have any merit in it. The claim they're saying that the minister took it upon himself to personally deliver a citizenship paper to somebody, the wife of somebody who died, who had their application put in years before, right? And they wonder if the minister breached protocol or if there is any legal ramification. But of course, there's no legal ramification, right? Because citizenship is decided by cabinet, the group of men who the prime minister has around him. How many person cabinet ministers? 12, right? So they decide on who gets citizenship,
yeah.
Whatever the reasons or entitlements, whatever it is. Then one would have a discussion on what it would be the procedures in terms of delivering such citizenship, right? After you go through the paperwork, whatever it is. And the COI people, they always up in arms. I think they need some lawyers in their party. They're saying that the minister should have allowed the immigration officers to conduct that. And I'm saying that's the minister. He decided to do it personally. He decided to deliver for whatever particular reason he decided to do it. And that ends that. Cabinet already decided the person getting the citizenship. So what's the issue here? So I wanted to bring that up as one of my first discussions, because I know COI people are discussing it and is running all over social media, and I'm not understand why they pick up the most based of commentary to get up in arms with when there's so much issues to be discussed. You know, let's talk about what happened to the Sovereign Wealth Fund. I don't know what happened to that. I still don't believe we have a Sovereign Wealth Fund anymore. But they look like they forgot that. Let's hash that out. Let's stick on that topic. But Aaron, go ahead. You have any commentary on that? Because I know you want to talk about the man who was a vagrant, and they arrest him, and then you find him dead in the freaking prison. I wouldn't get me emotional, but I'm willing to discuss that.
Yeah, and I want to juxtapose it to commentary around the redevelopment of downtown Nassau, right?
I did go to the Bay Street Port recently, but I will bring that into discussion when you talk about the downtown Nassau. Yeah. But let's start, because it looks like I finished with the COI, because none of them calling in to explain why they're up in arms. But let's talk about the downtown Nassau, right? Yeah. Recently, the Minister of Tourism made an announcement about the reprobate who will not be,
I just want to make the point that he didn't use the word reprobate.
Oh, I want to listen to him. So it's like reprobate.
It's easy for me to infer that that's what he meant, right? And I think many people.
Yeah, do we have the list of what he called?
Oh yeah, I have the. Okay, let's have a quote.
Let me see if there's any reprobate people there.
From the article, DPM pledges action on downtown in the Nassau Guardian, the 20th of June, 23. Here is the quote. Quote, right now, with the help of Commissioner Fernanda, greater police presence will be visible and consistent. Cooper also warned criminals that they are not welcome downtown. I want to be very clear about this. Drug peddlers, hackers, hagglers, prostitutes, harassers, thieves, and troublemakers are not welcome downtown, he said. They are, in fact, not welcome anywhere, but there will certainly be zero tolerance downtown, and the mission of the police is to remove them.
I want you to stick a pin there,
yeah.
Right? Because I'm not sure the meaning of certain of those words, certain of those terms.
Right.
So if you could call the persons who he listed,
right,
so I can analyze and appreciate what they are.
Drug peddlers.
I know what a drug peddler is.
They have pharmacies on Bay Street?
Cole's Pharmacy?
I mean, because that's a drug peddler's pharmacy.
No, you're talking about people who sell herbs and spices.
Oh,
on the bay.
And salt.
And salt.
Yeah.
Yes, that white flour.
Snow. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Hackers.
See, that's what I'm concerned about. See, I heard the word,
right.
I don't think people analyzed what they mean by, what the minister meant by that.
So
right?
A hacker is someone who offers a taxi service without a taxi license.
My point is, you as a Bahamian, you ever try to catch a taxi from Bay Street?
Yeah.
Impossible.
Yeah.
They ain't letting you inside their car.
Yeah, I tried to catch a taxi from a hotel but to a place that was less than 5 minutes away, and the taxi driver refused to take me onto the Eastern Road.
So I'm thinking, mind you, I understand the goodness of what the intention of what the minister is saying, but that put me, a Bahamian who's trying to be employed, at a deficit of going to my job on time and leaving my job on time because you now take away my transportation.
I have another thing about the word, like hackers and hagglers. Why are hackers and hagglers in between drug peddlers and prostitutes?
I assume because that's how you view them?
Because, I mean, is a hacker somebody that offers a taxi service without a license the same one, the same as someone who's trying to sell illicit substances to tourists? I don't think that they should be in the same sentence.
They ain't blend. They ain't the same type of crime.
Not just that.
You said nobody wants them around.
Is haggling illegal? What's a haggler? See, a haggler is somebody who says...
peanuts. Nuts. Irie nuts.
See, because when I go to a market in an international jurisdiction, right? And I could haggle with them.
Coconut water people?
My money... Listen, the thing costs 20 and I could say, but would you take 18 for it?
Mm-hmm.
And they say... how about 19? And I say, well, how about 18.50? That's haggling, right?
But
tourists come to our markets and do that.
Yes, but what you're talking about happens in the straw market. They haggle each other, but he's talking about a haggler, what they call street vendors.
You see, there's a difference between haggling and street vending.
There you go. And I see Wilson looking like, oh, I never considered that. But we analyze terms. And these terms that the Deputy Prime Minister, he chose specifically because he's an educated man.
I would have simply said anyone who is not authorized by the Ministry of Tourism or by the Bay Street Board
to operate
on Bay Street will not be allowed
to apply said service.
Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't use those certain terms because listening to it, you have the world listening and reading. It says you're giving off something, and then it almost puts me in the mindset of like my granddad and grandmother said years ago that a certain demographic of skin color were not welcome downtown.
And let's talk about that again. I want to get an example of a haggler, or we could change the word, because a haggler is, I assume we mean street peddler.
Uncapped person.
Right, street
peddler. No, we ain't talking about uncapped. No. That's Jones's thing.
That's vagrants. And vagrants. Which we can get to.
And we can get there. He is talking, the minister is talking about people who selling peanuts.
Oh, the rascal gonna sell us peanuts.
The man said he don't know haggler. And what do you say at the end of the term? What he said at the end, after you list all the lists, he gave us a damning statement about people who haggle, people who sell peanuts.
They are, in fact, not welcome anywhere, but there will certainly be zero tolerance downtown.
You see where we're getting to, Wilson?
I don't think he meant the man, because...
No. What he said, let's go by what he said. What he said, it was what he said. He didn't give no room for interpretation, is what he said. We don't want no hagglers. We are trying to find what a haggler is. I tell you, example of a haggler. I think he's a peanut man is a haggler.
I think he's going to correct that statement.
There's more to read. Hold on. Even in the article, there's more to read, right? But I want to, let's stay to the list, right? Because he says he's warned the criminals, right? But prostitution is not illegal.
You mean prostitution is not illegal?
It isn't. Solicitation is illegal.
What are you trying to say?
Advertising that you have a service to sell is illegal.
What about making the services available?
That's a gray area.
If I'm
like Dalzell Street.
Let's picture this.
But what I'm...
Let's picture this.
Yeah.
Saying I am a bright-skinned lady who is bilingual, and I happen to frequent a...
establishment.
On the wharf.
Yeah.
Right? And go upstairs and I sit to the bar every night. And tourists and Bahamians come and say, hey, you're a nice lady. Let me take you out for dinner.
That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that.
And I shall tip you after that.
There's nothing wrong with that at all.
So they're saying that there are persons who don't, if there's nothing wrong with that. So we turn saying that the minister is talking about someone who's on the street and then shaking their self and say, come this way? Or are we not talking about those people who I'm doing that scenario for?
One of the issues that I have, that maybe within 50 yards of the new port, we have a lot of derelict, unsightly buildings that doesn't really promote our tourism product, but I'm not hearing anyone speaking about those buildings that are derelict and unkept and unsightly on the eastern side of downtown.
There are a number of initiatives that apparently are in the works, and what we learned last week is that Randy Roll...
He's coming on the show shortly.
Right. He has been appointed, right?
Great.
He's in charge of... He's going to be in charge, I think, from the government side of the process of revitalizing downtown, but specifically looking at those buildings that would have been declared derelict, and that there's a process in place between the government and the property owners, right, to revitalize those buildings or transfer ownership or control, whatever. But I think Honorable Randy Roll, I think he's a honorable senator. He's been placed in charge of that, right? But I just wanted to throw that in there, right?
I'm still analyzing the list, but go ahead.
Because hackers and hagglers shouldn't be on a list with drug peddlers.
But it tells the tale of how the minister view hackers
and hagglers. Absolutely.
Well, speaking, you know, we have an informal sector of workers and persons who are self-employed, who we call hustlers, right?
Right.
And so I can, let's say C.A. Brother Nuri owns a bar downtown. And I can say, okay, everybody that I bring to the bar, do I get $2 for every person I could put at a table for you? And he'd say, okay, for everyone you could direct to my bar, I would give you $2. And so I would go down as the people come off of the cruise ships, I would, hey, listen, man, come to CA Bar. You can get it.
You're like a hype man.
Yes.
There's a term for that.
So what's the term?
Haggler.
But that's what I'm saying.
It's illegal.
But no, it's not illegal now, because I have not seen a bill. I haven't seen any legislation.
Haggler has always been illegal.
No.
It's illegal to haggle.
No, it's not.
It's a haggler, yes.
No, it's not illegal to haggle.
You need a permit to sell on the street. This is why we run the people from the Mall of Marathon and say, hey, you all need to stop being hagglers.
You need a,
and move from
from Marathon. I think you need a permit to occupy. You need a permit to occupy a space in the public, right? Like to set up a small booth on a sidewalk or to set up a small booth at the beach.
No, so listen.
But if you mobile, if I mobile and I got my rum fingers and my salts in my backpack, and I walk in through towns, those, who could stop me from engaging tourists and selling them products?
Well, they're hagglers.
If I can just interject, those same persons who you refer to as hagglers, those are vital people to persons whose businesses are not directly at the port.
Tell that to the minister.
They're going to be able to direct persons to businesses, to entertainment that normally wouldn't be directed.
Because it feels to me like you criminalizing people for the purpose of protecting economic interests.
That's correct.
And that's a problematic.
And I'll go as far as that. And I want to mention that the person who move transit person from point A to point B is called a tour guide or a tour operator.
Yeah.
You need a tour license to move people. Say, I have a store down
Hold on,
there.
So you're telling me I need a tour license to be able to say to a business,
yes,
for $2 a head, I could bring people
to
you.
Well, of course, you're doing touring. But let me even go there. Recently, I was engaged in a conversation of some persons who have not a store, they have like the what do you call it, the cured starfish, mm-hmm, the cured polished conch shells on laid on the wharf, and people pass by. I'm not sure if you understand what I'm talking about.
Yes.
You just pass by and you purchase a starfish, you pass by and get a conch, whatever it is. They are called hagglers.
Yes, they are.
The minister, if we can read the list again, said there won't be any more hagglers downtown. Nobody analyzed that. They are called hagglers.
Who called them hagglers?
The minister called them hagglers.
The minister, pardon me, I was just about to say, the minister ain't nobody. He's not an expert in tourism.
What do you mean he's not an expert in tourism?
He is a politician that's been appointed
to
direct policy. He's not an expert. He doesn't get to define terms.
You got to be in the shop. You got to be in the shop. There can't be no selling no more peanut, no Benny cake on the side of the road. You got to be in the shop. This is what the minister's getting
at. It appears as if we are criminalizing people to protect economic interests.
I watched the unions be quiet on this because unions supposed to protect workers.
Well, you know, when you look back at what would have started the revolution of trade unionism in the country, it started because of issues like this. It started at the airport, where you have a certain demographic controlling the transportation industry and the taxi drivers, who more or less were living on a hustle. They weren't getting a share of the economic pie. And so it sort of woke up something in the country. And so we have to be careful because based on the statements and what I'm understanding, it would affect the economic pie of a lot of Bahamians who don't have the affordability to rent on the new port.
Or on Bay Street. Or on Shirley Street.
And so they would use these persons to direct businesses to them. You have businesses that are Junkanoo Beach, which is a nice tourism attraction. But the visitors who come into the port, they won't know unless there are persons there to say, come to Junkanoo Beach, we have this or we have that. Or would have signs and say, follow me to Junkanoo Beach.
Because what you're trying to tell me is that I need a special license to advertise my own product in my own country?
Yeah. You need to have a tour license. You can't be given tours illegally on Bay Street. And this is what we're hashing out today. This is what we're analyzing. What did the minister actually say?
Who did he include?
And what did he compare them to? He compared them to prostitutes. What else he compared these hagglers to?
Drug peddlers, harassers, thieves, and troublemakers. See, I like the troublemakers part because I think you should move the whole House of Parliament from Bay Street. You can't have them harassers and troublemakers downtown.
They're harassing people.
You see that list, right?
Yeah,
they're harassing hackers and hagglers.
Yeah, but like I said, serve a purpose.
Listen,
let's be fair.
Perhaps when the Ministry of Housing and Transport released this volume of new plates, right? Their intention was to provide sufficient plates to eradicate the need for hackers, right? That there would be so many plates out there that there's now a pool of drivers available to drive Bahamians.
Yes.
Right? Perhaps that's the aim. The aim was to ensure that there are enough plates available to cover the amount of people that need to or want to move via taxi. But the rates could not be applicable to ordinary Bahamians, right? They'd come with those new plates. I see they demand in more new plates. But, yeah, I'm very concerned about the language used to address people.
Bahamians.
Right? In the absence of systems that are supposed to address these people. Right? Look at the hackers. Like you rightly pointed out, hackers provide a vital service. They bring in the people who work to Bay Street, on Bay Street,
yep,
to Bay Street. What it means is that you, the state, you don't have sufficient public transportation. You don't have, people can't, if they need a car, they can't afford a car and there's no public transportation
no parking
to use, or the public transportation is not effective, or there's no parking available for cars. And so why are you criminalizing people who exist because of your dereliction of duty? They exist because a system that you're supposed to be maintaining is dysfunctional, and now you want to criminalize them.
Just to chime in, you know, I'm not one to promote anything that's illegal or wrong, but many years ago when I worked in the hotel, and Brother Nuri knew about it, you get off at 12 midnight or you get off at a certain time,
mm-hmm,
you're not going to get a taxi driver to take you Soldier Road or Nassau Village or
mm-hmm
Pairdale, right? So you have to walk over the foot of the bridge,
mm-hmm,
and you have to get a hacker.
Yeah.
I'm being honest with you.
No space for
and
them
so,
no more.
No, maybe we can teach them how to modernize their service through like an app or an Uber app that they don't have to necessarily occupy space downtown.
Yeah.
Maybe we can teach that, but I think before we condemn persons for services that may be necessary or not fully understood, we have to see how we can seek to help them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's talk about condemning, and let's talk about services that are not offered. The other suggestion that the minister is saying that there's no space for hustlers, and I'm using this term loosely, right? We're talking about the vagabonds now, who's molested and being seen. I want to introduce, because I know you won't get coming. I just
yeah,
introduced
yeah,
it,
yeah,
right? In this new tourism product, there will be no space for Joneses to be downtown. Point blank, and I understand that. We know that there are a number of vagabonds that live at the foot of the bridge, which is Bay Street, and at that roundabout and at that park area, and then nearer to, where is it, by the gas station, nearer to Ministry of Agriculture.
Yeah.
There's a number of Bahamians who have mental issues and they live on the streets, right? Part of our movement is we need to move them. Even though it's not explicitly clear in that listing, it is suggested that our government plans to move these Bahamians off of Bay Street in order to have a safe product for the tourists. My concern is,
mm-hmm,
what could happen to them?
Well, Cooper speaks to that. Right? In the same article, again, we're reading from DPM Pledges Action on Downtown, 20th of June, 23. Cooper said, the government intends to deal with vagrants in a compassionate manner. Quote, we will ensure that vagrants receive the care they need and they will not receive the care wandering about and sleeping on the streets or in derelict buildings, he said. We can do better to support our vulnerable and we will. We are also... I'm not going to read that. I may prejudice people. Anyway, the point is this. He speaks to a category of people he calls vagrants, which is that separate from the category of people you call vagabonds?
Vagrants versus vagabonds.
Because you say when you said vagabonds, you started talking about molesting people, and you suggested that these are people who are engaged in criminal acts, and I'm going to suggest that a vagrant is not
necessarily
somebody who's engaging in criminal acts. And let's go to the caller, and then I can follow that up with, I want to question, why is it a criminal offense at all?
You know we can arrest you if you're a vagrant and put you in jail.
We can talk about that.
So vagrant is a criminal act.
I'm saying it shouldn't be. I'm saying why is it?
So I just
in and of itself, being a vagrant shouldn't be a criminal act.
I'm just bringing that up because it's it has to be in amongst the list of things the minister does not want to happen down
right.
there.
Right, but even using the word vagrant is loaded and is prejudiced, but yes. I see that the red light flashing.
Okay, producer Patch, the caller through for me, please. Go ahead, caller, can you hear me?
Hello?
Hello, go ahead.
Yeah, CA, tall buses is not the only person can do tall. Okay, a livery could do a tall, a taxi could do a tall. Because once the people walk up to you, and for taxi drivers, we are the first to engage. Where can I go to eat? Where can I go to do this and that? And we can advise them where they could go. And not only advise them, but take them there too, legally. And the next thing, the reason why the Hawkers is downtown, because I don't know what went on, why the plate, all of the plates ain't back to white as yet, but you still have those SD plates still are taxi color. And so they're in the downtown area and they're making a living. And when I say a living, they overcharging the tourists. And so when the tourists make their complaint, they saying that it is a taxi. And that time is not a taxi, but they saying it is a yellow plate.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
So I don't know if the honorable minister, he gonna pull them plate in and put all of them supposed already being back to white. Now, but they still have a lot of the yellow plates on the road, SD plate.
Sir, I was under the impression that the white rental plate is for companies like a Hertz or right, who rents cars, and then the yellow SN plate is for smaller operators. The people you see in the paper, they apply for the license for two plates or three plates. I was under that impression, but you're telling me that all of the rental car plates are supposed to be white and green, and the minister is supposed to be in the process of having them changed over?
Yes, because if we go back to the other former minister, Honorable Lennis Madden,
yeah.
She was saying that all of them supposed to go back to the white.
Okay.
When she was in office.
And I can understand the issue that it causes, and I appreciate the point that you make as a taxi driver, or the extent to which hackers disrupt, right, the traditional taxi system and could be detrimental to tourism as a whole. I appreciate that. I'm not saying that we just let hackers do whatever, but I'm saying that we must first acknowledge that they are a response to a dereliction, right? A dysfunction in a public transportation system.
Yes, it is.
Yes, sir.
You know, and I believe, Mr. Ferguson, we're about to initiate an act. What is going to soon come on? Where it is, it's going to be something like a Uber, where you can, the public can see the taxi, what is coming for them, where it's going to, the price before you, once you, you know, relate to the app. And so, stand by, Mr. Ferguson, the president of the union. This is he's on unveil this. I hope I...
No, don't watch that. Ain't nobody here what yeah. you say, but people are... I think the people appreciate that there are things in the works. Thank you.
Thank you very much, caller. I want you to transition now. Someone was arrested recently for being a vagrant. And this is why I bring that issue up. And as we transition to that, at this present time in the Bahamas, it's illegal to be a vagrant.
It can't make sense. It don't make sense.
What do you mean it don't make sense?
It don't make sense at all.
What do you mean it don't make sense?
It can't make sense.
You can't be vagrant on the
Why?
People. What do you mean why? You live in some place.
I can't be vagrant in your yard. See, if you tell me, look here, Aaron, you know you can't sleep in this yard. Go home or go find someone else to sleep. I appreciate that, right? But how is it a criminal offense, right? How is it a criminal offense to not have a place to live, right? B, how could it be a jailable offense? Why are you going to put me in jail because... you've deemed me a vagrant.
So you know people are being put in jail?
I know one story. I heard one story. Yes, unfortunately, I never get to know this man.
Put it in the record.
All right. So reported by Eyewitness News on the 23rd of June of this year, vagrant on remand at Bahamas Department of Corrections found dead. His Majesty's coroner is investigating the death of a 59-year-old inmate who was found unresponsive inside his cell at the Bahamas Department of Correctional Services. Preliminary reports indicate that shortly after 7 a.m. on Friday, the 23rd of June, officers at the facility discovered the deceased with injuries to the upper body. The deceased was on remand for vagrancy. Investigations continue. And what I'm suggesting is that he should never have been there. Right? And that we must not criminalize people who are a result of a dereliction in the systems that those who are doing the criminalizing are responsible for managing. Now, there is a compassion. I will acknowledge, I will read the words again from Mr. Cooper, right? He says, the government intends to deal with vagrants in a compassionate manner. We will ensure that vagrants receive the care they need, and they will not receive that care wandering about and sleeping on the streets or in derelict buildings.
I know for a fact Sandlin's Rehabilitation Center tend to release persons early because of overcrowding.
Yes. We don't have sufficient shelters, and we don't need, what we need are, most people, they have what they call sober living shelters. You have to be sober to get into the shelter. We don't need that. We need some of those, but what we need are that first encounter shelter that you can access whether you're intoxicated or not.
My concern is, at this present time, there exists no system, no shelters.
Yeah.
What will happen to the vagabonds on the street now? Today.
They will be pushed into communities.
No, you can't push them over hill. I'd rather them stay on Bay Street. You can't push them over the hill.
Or they will
onto
be
onto East Street near my family.
Or they will be.
Well, why punish me?
Well, I have a question.
I have no value.
Let's just say.
But you're more valuable than me.
Well, I see, these are
I just have a question.
Yes, sir.
Let's just say I am a wood carver. Or I pretty up some conch shells. I paint them and I glossy them up. There's no space for me in the straw market, and I just decide to walk Bay Street with my wares in my hand, soliciting sales of my goods. Would I be considered a vagrant? Would I be considered? What would you consider me?
A higgler. Right. What if I'm a painter and I do all of these things, and I'm wearing my canvas? You know, I'm wearing my overalls because I'm prepared to stop at any moment and create a piece of art for a tourist.
Yes.
But I look like I don't belong anywhere. What happens to me?
Yeah.
Right. And so, you know, I appreciate. That's why I repeated the statement from the minister. I appreciate his intention, but I want to say to him that you use the word vagrant. That you could not find any other word to use suggests that you have already criminalized these people. And we need a reimagining of who belongs and who doesn't belong in this country. Mr. Nuri?
Yeah, but it's, we're going to take a quick commercial break now. We have some text, so we're going to allow Aaron to read on the other side of the break. We have a number of topics we're going to talk about, but this was important to us. So we wanted to hash that out, especially going forward, the new Bay Street and how it impacts communities. And when I come back, I want to ask Kyle, your BBL technicians, at times, when you call them to say, man, I need this fixed, they just wait till 5 o'clock. And then they start to work just to get overtime. I know, I mean, I notice it. I said, but they just stand in there. And then the work starts at 5 p.m. Why you all to do that? Anyway, we're going to be right back and let him act to that on the other side. Guy Ray and AM, we'll see you. See you, Henry.
Water and Sewage Corporation wishes to advise the public, its customers, and the residents of Wilton Street off Mackey Street, inclusive of side corners, that there may be an interruption to their water supplies between the hours of 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on June 12th. 2023 for a total of 6 weeks to perform new main installation on Wilton Street. During this period, there may also be road closures and detour around the work areas. Motorists are asked to avoid this area between the hours of 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. The corporation apologizes for any inconvenience this may cause and appreciates your support as they work to improve their level of service.
With over 25 years in business, nothing says commitment to our people, culture, and service like Rev. And this year is no different. We will continue to elevate your home experience for you to create and share memories for years to come, while keeping you connected to the people and things you love most. Our pledge to provide quality service each year remains true. Rev is made for you.
LaSonia Mizek, Managing Director of RBC Royal Bank Bahamas, with some big news that will elevate your debit card experience. RBC's new Visa debit chip card will soon be here. To make things easier for you, we're offering free FedEx delivery when you validate your contact details. No need to wait in line. We'll bring the card straight to you. Call 356-8500. Select option 7 for Visa Debit Direct Line and update your delivery address. Our team is available weekdays between 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Take advantage of the security and convenience of chip and PIN technology. Free delivery is for a limited time, so act now.
And welcome back. Ain't like I forget, Kyle, about that question about why BPL had started at 5 p.m. to get that overtime money. But I just say, I noticed, Kyle. Yeah. You noticed too. Well, no comment.
Well, overtime starts at 5.
So that's why they could stop it.
No. Well, see, you have to understand with outages, right? Let's just say Mrs. Green's home, and I just speak in layman terms. I'm not speaking for BPL's operation, how they do business. I'm just speaking with common sense. Let's say there's a damaged line to our home and we need to cut the whole neighborhood off or whatever. We can't do it during certain, they wouldn't be able to during certain times or peak hours when BEC could be generating funds or whatever. If you look at the off hours,
that off hours starts at 5 p.m.
Yeah, well, that's less impact because in the afternoon or the evening time, and it's cooler, right? And so less load on the system. We don't need all that load. We could take that off. We could work with that. And so it's just making systematic decisions that the average person may not understand. But they got some really high qualified engineers in BPL who could really explain in depth why they have to work at certain hours. And so it may look like overtime or may look like fun. But the person, the average worker like me, we don't control that. We have to be called out. There's records and services that have to go through that allow and permits to work. And so you can't just go and work overtime. That's something that's allowed. But they try to find the most convenient time. You don't want to block up traffic. You want them to be working 2-3 now. You're going to pick up your children from school. You want them to be starting to do the construction in the middle of the road 3 o'clock.
Wait till 5. Okay. Anyway, I have some callers here. And Aaron, I still want you to read those texts. Absolutely. I still want to hash out this vagrant terms and whatever else the minister said. But producers, pass the callers through for me, please. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Hey, good morning, Mr. Neary.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning.
Listen, I have a question. Did the minister mention anything about putting in place? Aaron, I don't know if you remember the area on Bay Street called the one-stop shop.
Yeah.
That building is still there and may be available. Mm-hmm. Do you think the minister have any plans to possibly make something like that for those extra persons that just be on Bay Street selling those items rather than just telling them they're not welcome?
I think that there are plans in place. The minister has said, and then I think Honorable Senator Randy Rowell, when he was on the show, referenced, right, the intention of creating a souvenir incubators, creative incubators, right? So what I had added to that conversation was that you need to create a space that supports the independent entrepreneur, so that they could come into that space and make what they have to make and operate out of that space, right? It formalizes them. It enables them to participate in the formal economy and doesn't leave them on the side. So I think their idea is they know that we need to produce our own souvenirs, and they know people need a space to produce them in, and they know people need a space to operate out of. And so I think a part of the revitalization of the area that the artist community coined East of East Street, that's a big part of it.
Thank you very much.
I'm curious too, because with the Hagelers, right? The vendors in the straw market have a lot of extra person that they send out to
draw
to
people in,
to bring the tourists into them. So these persons walk around on the outside of the straw market, engage the tourists, and get them to come into the straw market to their particular stone. So I guess those persons will now be out of a job if there's no Hagelers allowed.
All of this, we're going to investigate that as we push forward and ask the minister to explain.
Yeah. All right. Thank you so much.
Okay. Let's move to the next caller. Producer, patch the next caller for me too, please. Let me press this one. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Hey, good day. How you doing?
Doing well.
Yeah, I received a call and someone said that you guys wanted someone, a senior executive from the COI, to call in.
Well, not necessarily, but I was saying that the COI is making commentary about a minister, no names called, about him doing something untoward regarding delivering a citizenship. And we're saying that there's nothing untoward towards that. As a minister can deliver citizenship after cabinet has decided on who gets a citizenship paper. So that was the commentary there.
Yeah, well, this is Lincoln Bain. We live in a democracy, and we live in a democracy demands transparency. And we have certain protocols that are in place, and we think it is very inappropriate for what the minister allegedly did to do it that way. And we think that they need to answer, and they should be answering to the people, which is what they promised to do. And so you need to tell us why you had to do this at a funeral, why it was important for it to be done at the funeral, why the minister implied that what he was doing was unorthodox. And he implied that the law doesn't allow for what he was actually doing. We don't see where the persons that got the certificates right there in front of everyone. And we spoke to witnesses who were there also from the Haitian community. They were upset more than any Bahamian because many of them paid and were waiting. Many of them applied and were waiting for a long time, and this happened. And we don't see where anything was published in the papers with these persons' names, giving persons a chance to object, or any of the normal processes that should happen. We're not attacking the minister.
So let me explain to that to Mr. Bain. From what I investigate on, that this application was done by her husband, her deceased husband, and he made the application years ago, and that it was tarried or waited, right? And transitioning, the minister sets protocols and policies, and he decided that he wanted to deliver the citizenship to the church. That's the decision he made. Now, the idea is cabinet made a decision that the person is going to get the citizenship. That's who makes the decision. And if the minister took it upon himself, say, I personally will deliver it, it is what it is. Now, is it illegal? No, it's not. Because cabinet made a decision. Is it unorthodox? It doesn't happen that way. No one goes to the church, but he has the liberalists to do such. So it might be unorthodox to you, but he has the right or the ability to do it. And that's what's the point I was trying to make. So I hear you say, but you may be concerned, or no, better word, uneasy, because the good minister went to the church, but he didn't break any laws. And if he didn't break any laws, why make all the hullabaloo about it, right? The process was followed. Cabinet made a decision. And the minister decided that because the lady husband died and he applied a long time and they were giving him the citizenship, they're going to make it a more memorable situation and deliver it to the funeral. So I understand that. And I wanted to give you space enough and time enough to state your point, and so I can address your point. So that's the point I want to address on that. But let's continue the conversation. We only have 2-3 minutes to wear it.
You want to run through the text?
Run through the text for me.
Yeah, I think we finished with the vagrant dies in Roman Cooper commentary and the connection. Here are the texts. Someone said, I just opened my light bill and the usage is the same. I'm in shock. My mouth is on the ground. Oh boy, their bill is doubled. I want people to go online and search BPL fuel rate increase, right? And you could see the new policy put in place. I don't have the dates on it, but I don't want you all to be shocked when you see your bills increase almost double month to month. You need to see the schedule of rate increases issued by BPL last year. Mr. Nuri, good morning. No. I'm an Uber driver. Taxi drivers hate us. Why can't we legally cater to tourists that needs rides to and from the hotels and airports? Well, first of all, there are no Uber drivers in the Bahamas. As a place, there are no Uber drivers in the Bahamas because Uber is a service that's offered in the U.S. There are tourists that also complain about the cost of taxis for such short distances to do basic activities in Nassau. Yes, tourists and Bahamians alike are complaining about the prices, the rates for taxi trips. I agree. Wow. Nobody was promoting prostitution. We were just reading the law. Thank you very much. Yes, CA, the tourists are more valuable than you because Cooper called them the golden goose. The minister was told by the cruise... This texter thinks that the cruise port is directing the minister's statements. Good morning. In our government's fervor to sanitize Bay Street from the pesky Bahamian riffraff, I hope they don't end up institutionally discriminating against Bahamians in the way that we were duped into believing it was illegal to gamble in the PI casino. As you pointed out, the good DPM used the term vagrant to describe Bahamians on Bay Street without legal economic interest. So where does this leave unlicensed vendors such as the Peanut Man, the 3-for-10 CD Man, the mobile artist selling one of Bahamian arts and craft? I trust we don't lose elements of Bahamian culture that help make the tourist experience uniquely us. And I want to say this, where are tourists supposed to get Bahamian music from, if not from the 3-CD-for-$10 man?
What the persons who are selling phone cards and pop-up?
Right. Right, where are people supposed to get this information? Another text. I wish I could move to Alfred Says constituency so I could vote him out for these electricity prices. If only he had checked his email.
Anyway, we're out of time. This is Guardian Radio in the AM with C.A. Nuri. Thank you very much, Aaron. Thank you very much, Kyle Wilson,
pleasure
for joining
being
us.
Here, man.
Especially where you're poking the bear. Thank you very much for being a good sport. Have a wonderful day. We go into the news.